Now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Savior and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we moved here, I lived in Washington, Illinois, and right next to us, my neighbor had two Brittany Spaniels. Beautiful dogs, friendly dogs, and we became friends, the dogs and I. The neighbors too, but the dogs more so, I think. I got into the habit of buying a box of Milk-Bone treats, and whenever these dogs saw me, they would come to the fence, and of course, I would give them some treats. It was a habit we both enjoyed. But in today's gospel, perhaps we can see what real doggy treats are about. Now, before we meet this woman in our gospel that Pastor talked about, it is important to remember that Jesus is traveling and where he's traveling and why. He had withdrawn into the area of Tyre and Sidon, Gentile territory, the old homeland of the Canaanites. And y'all remember how that went. Now, this is simply not really an accidental detour. Jesus had just exposed false teaching about cleanliness with the Pharisees, if you'll remember, and he knew that their hostility towards him was growing. They were already offended by his word, and elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that the Pharisees had begun to seek counsel against Jesus, seeking how they might destroy him. Now, Jesus withdraws not because he's afraid or he's running away, but just because his hour had not yet come. In keeping with the Father's will, this is Christ's true wisdom. His saving purpose is to come here. He is the promised Messiah. He is sent first to the lost sheep of Israel, and yet his mercy is already overflowing to the Gentiles, to the Jewish people, the Canaanite in the Canaanite territory. Now, to the Jewish people, the people in the Canaanite territory were unclean, populated by a people that were outside of God's covenant. The Old Testament distinctions between the clean and the unclean were never really about just food and dirt or land. They had taught Israel that God is holy, and that unclean people, what we call sinners, cannot come into his presence. And frankly, we still feel that way today. Cleaning was necessary because sin separates people from God. So they instituted many ways to make themselves clean. Washings, special ceremonies, Levitical orders and laws that had been commanded. That just before this account, Jesus had taught the Pharisees and the disciples the true meaning of uncleanliness. Uncleanness comes not from what it goes into the mouth or where you live. It comes out of the heart. In our gospel today, he demonstrates that truth. Jesus enters the Gentile territory, unclean places, but he is not made unclean. Instead, the Holy One brings his cleansing mercy into unclean places. As Luther notes, Christ often hides his grace in order to strengthen our faith. And Matthew's gospel shows that the Messiah who was promised first to Israel is now fulfilled in Christ, and that the promised Savior comes to all the nations. Now, that's good news for us here at Concordia, because we're not Israelites by blood. Yet in Christ, we are brought into his family. And through faith, receiving mercy, not because of our ancestry or our worthiness, he has adopted us and made us his own family. So when the Canaanite woman cries out, she becomes a living picture of that promise and the ceremonial distinctions that go with it. She's crying out to somebody to make her clean. When we hear Jesus' voice in this gospel, it does not sound like a sweet message. It sounds like silence. It sounds like resistance. It sounds like rejection. The first thing to understand, the first thing that is really hard to understand for the woman and really for us too, is that Jesus never says a word. Here she is crying and calling out to him. He never says a word. In fact, the disciples get all upset and say, give her what she wants, let her go away. But Jesus, again, never says a word. Luther says here, Christ is like the hunter who exercises and chases faith so that it may become strong. I think that might sound strange to us, this whole thing, but think about it for a second. You know what it is like to pray in silence. You know what it is to ask for mercy and still the trouble remains. You know what it is to wonder, is Christ really gracious to me? In that silence, the old Adam begins to preach to you. God does not care. Christ is not for you. Your prayer is wasted. But that's not the voice of Christ. That is unbelief speaking. Faith clings to the good news, even when Christ seems as silent as a stone. Now, the second hard thing to see in this passage is he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, Jesus is not denying our promise or his promise to us. He is just speaking in the course according to the order of salvation. He is repeating the Old Testament promise. Israel had the covenant. Israel had the prophets. Israel had the promises. Messiah comes first to Israel as the son of David. And this Canaanite woman does not argue with Christ's words. In fact, she clings to it. She does not say, forget Israel. Give me what I want. She says, in effect, yes, Lord. If you are Israel's Messiah, then you are also the merciful king promised to all the nations. She understands that the disciples are slow to see the mercy is too great to be contained by the borders or the 12 tribes. He is the Messiah. He has come for all of us, including and especially us here at Concordia. Then comes the third and probably the hardest thing for anyone to hear. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, if anyone ever had a reason to be discouraged, disgusted, insulted, it was this woman. And she should, if it had been me, I'd probably just got up and walked away. But she did not. Faith, her faith, and faith strong like hers, does not storm away from Jesus. Faith listens to the mercy, even in a hard word. She does not boast. She does not defend herself. She does not say, I'm no dog. She says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In this answer, she catches Jesus in his own words. If there are children, there's bread. If there's bread, there's a table. And if there's a table, there are crumbs. And the crumbs from Jesus, the master, are crumbs enough for all. Jesus can only say, oh, woman, great is your faith. But now her faith is not great because she feels strong. Her faith is not great because she has a real catchy comeback. No, her faith is because she will not let Christ go. Faith takes him at his word and then holds on to it. In his mercy, great faith is not a faith of faith. Great faith is faith in a great Savior. Here is the comfort for you and for me. Christ tests faith, but he does not crush it. He humbles us in order to heal us. He brings us to the end of ourselves that we may live from his mercy alone. He lets this woman to go without seeming to have any grace at all to be shown to her. The crumbs of Jesus, though, are not leftovers from a stingy Savior. They are the abundance of an almighty God, and his mercy cannot be exalted. Now see where this mercy finally takes us. Jesus goes from Tyre and Sidon to Jerusalem. He goes to the cross. There he becomes the one cast out, rejected, and treated as unclean. He bears Israel's sin. He bears the sin of all nations. He bears my sin, and he bears your sin. He is silent before his accusers so that his saving word may be spoken to you and me. He is forsaken that we may be received. He dies, he rises, and he ascends. And now that mercy shown, promised to Israel in that old covenant, flows out into a new covenant to us who have been fulfilled now by the sacrifice. So let's be like that Syrophoenician woman in this gospel. And do not let your needs drive you away from Christ. Bring your demon-tormented burdens. Bring your family troubles. Bring your guilty conscience. Bring your weak faith. Bring the prayers that seem unanswered. Cry with this woman, Lord, have mercy. Cry again, Lord, help me. You do not come because you're worthy of the children's bread. You come because Christ is merciful, and he has made you his own child. And he gives you much more than crumbs. In baptism, he names beggars such as us as his children. In absolution, he speaks mercy into the ears that have heard too many accusations. At his altar, he gives us the true body and blood from heaven, the true bread from heaven, its very body and blood, and is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The Master's table is not bare. The Savior's mercy is not rationed. His grace is enough for all, the distressed, the poor, and the needy, the sinful, and the despised. His grace is enough for both you and me. So when the Lord seems silent, keep praying. When his word humbles you, do not run away. When you feel like you have no claim left in this life, accept mercy. Then you're right where that woman was. And say with her, yes, Lord, and then cling to the yet. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus heard her. Jesus praised her faith. Jesus answered her wish and healed her daughter. And Jesus is the same Lord for you. He's not stingy with his mercy. He's not rationing his grace. He has crossed every border of sin. That sin is set up between you and God. He has entered the unclean place, borne the unclean sin, made us whole and able to speak to our Father. He has taken outsiders and called them children. He has taken beggars and seated them at his table. He has taken sinners and fed them with forgiveness and life. So here is the real doggy treat, not a milk bone at the fence, not a crumb tossed from a reluctant hand, but the overflowing mercy of Christ from the Master's table. Mercy for the silent days, mercy for the hard words, mercy for the desperate cries, mercy for the outsider, mercy for the unclean, and mercy for you and me. In the name of Jesus, amen.